Hey, good morning and welcome to the Raider Wrap right here on KYM and 95.1 The One. How's everybody doing today? What an absolutely gorgeous day. Technically, we can say Happy St. Patrick's Day because there's a big parade in St. Paul and they celebrate it today, and so they can probably wear it off tomorrow. But needless to say, partly sunny skies today, a high of 46, partly cloudy tonight, cooling off around 22. Tomorrow, sunshine, a high of 34, and for Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 16. And then on Monday, sunny skies and a high of 38. It just seems so odd that it's only 38 degrees when we've been living in 50s and 60s and all kinds of fun stuff for the last couple of weeks. But what a crazy year it has been indeed. We got partly cloudy skies and 41 here in the Northfield area. Welcome to the Raider Wrap. And, of course, I want to introduce Michelle Sanaga of the Knowledge Bowl team. So, I don't think people even knew that there was a Knowledge Bowl team. And explain to me, if you will, what is the Knowledge Bowl?
So a Knowledge Bowl is a competition in which teams of five students, and Northfield has nine teams. So we have 45 kids, but nine teams of five students each. And they compete in the southeastern region of Minnesota. They compete in an written testing round, answering a variety of multidisciplinary questions related to all areas of learning. And then after their written round, which settles sort of a base score, they start to compete head-to-head against other schools in oral rounds, where basically the first team that, you know, hits a buzzer and answers a question correctly gets a point. And then those points are added onto the written round, and the team with the most points at the end wins. And it's usually us.
When you say there's a written round,
right,
and an oral round.
Mm-hmm.
So the written, is it they give them, a particular subject and say, write three paragraphs?
Nope, it's multiple choice. There are 60 multiple choice questions, and each team takes that written round collaboratively. So they just put their five brains together, and they have a limited amount of time to try to collaborate and answer them correctly. So, and they're pretty tough questions, and they are not only learning about what do we know, but also deductive reasoning. How can we answer what isn't right about the question, or what possible answers are seem logical. So they're learning also how to take a test, basically.
Right.
Which doesn't sound fun, but they have a great time doing it.
Well, it's almost like, sitting at your favorite pub and doing trivia.
It is a lot like that. Occasionally will go around town and enter trivia contests and wipe the floor with people, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you teach English.
I do.
How long
mm-hmm.
have you been doing that?
I have been teaching English for 31 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Three of those were in Albert Lee, and the rest have been in Northfield.
Oh, well, you must like what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did you get involved with the Knowledge Bowl?
So I took it up. The last coach left, and I had been interested in it. I had my English teacher back in the day at Chaska High School started a Knowledge Bowl team. And so I knew about it. I've always been interested in it. And, I just really believed that Northfield had a ton of potential as far as doing well and knowledgeable. And I wanted to take that on.
How long ago was that?
It was about 8 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you been competing in state for the last several years?
We've gone to state for the last 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
How have you done the last 7 years?
We won state in 2020.
You were able to participate in 2020.
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
And it was all online. It was on the Discord app. So
So you were all remote.
Right. We were remote, and our teams were able to compete at our usual competition spot in Rochester, but we were remote with the rest of the state.
Okay.
And then in 2021 we were fourth. And then the past 2 years, we've been sort of top 10 in the state.
It's held at Craigens Resort.
Yep, it is.
Up in Brainerd. So
yes.
That's going to be, and it's, you said it was when? April 7th?
April 11th and 12th.
Okay.
Right.
So why so far? That's a month away almost.
It is a month away. And
when was the region?
The regional was about 2 weeks ago.
Wow, so it's even...
It's been a bit.
Wow.
So the Southeast region is the first one that actually holds the regional competition. And then because of spring break and because we're waiting for the rest of the state to do their regional competitions, we've got a little bit of time here before we compete again.
Michelle Sonica joins us this morning from the Knowledge Bowl. And so I guess one of my questions would be, you're the coach or instructor or whatever you are.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you call yourself. But
coach. Yeah, usually. Yeah.
What does a coach of a Knowledge Bowl do? I mean, what is your role?
Well,
I mean, how do you teach them?
Well, so the first thing that we do is just really set a routine. And we meet 3 days a week for about an hour after school. We practice oral competitions against each other. We have 9 teams, so we pit the teams against each other. And we do buzzer practices because usually it's the first team that hits their buzzer gets to answer.
Is it is an actual buzzer or is it a
it's
clicker?
It's like a buzzer strip. It's like a pressure strip. And so most of the time, Northfield doesn't even let the reader get through the entire question before we try to answer it. So we're practicing that. We're practicing listening for questions. We are constantly studying. We look at the questions that are being written to see, like, look for patterns and things like that. And then we also practice written rounds because the kids need to work collaboratively. They need to learn how to trust each other. They need to learn each other's strengths and weaknesses. They need to learn how to cooperate. Because if one team starts to bicker or if they start to argue or things like that, they won't do well.
Right.
So that's it. We also just really try to make it a really fun experience. We try to instill in them the fact that even though we are one of the smaller schools at state usually as far as the class that we compete in, that they can compete with anybody. And it's okay to be competitive. And it is fun to be competitive. And I want them to feel successful. I want them to learn how to win gracefully and to lose gracefully.
So it's been a couple of weeks since you competed.
Right.
So you got them eating kale or something to stay sharp? Or
from
that time until April?
Yeah.
That's a lot of time.
It is a lot of time.
So you compete against each other, I guess.
Right.
Yep.
We compete against each other. And right now it's a lot of studying. Like, we have some categories that we know that we need to brush up on.
Well, how do you know what categories are going to
be? So it sounds crazy, but we, again, look for the patterns that we've been seeing in the competitions so far. And we've noticed that this year there are a lot of questions about musical composers that we just don't know a lot about.
Right.
And so we just start, we divide and conquer. And we look at different genres. We look at different composers. We try to find information about different composers. And then we also knew that there have been a lot of questions about artists and art movements that we don't know a lot about. So, again, divide and conquer and try to get as much information as we can.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, depending on how's it judged? Maybe I should ask that.
So there is a judge in the competition room. And basically, they just kind of keep track of the scores, like who has answered which question correctly. But the judge also determines, like, we do something called a shotgun. So if a team gives more information than is needed in addition to the question, like if they say, you know, which impressionist artist did this particular style, and they list one or two or three artists, that's called a shotgun. And the judge usually determines whether or not did you include just information that you threw in there to try to get lucky, or was that related to the topic, things like that. So they kind of take a look at the answers too and make sure that they're appropriate for for the competition.
Normally, you know, when school's out at 3:05, 3:15, mm-hmm. whatever, mm-hmm. and they usually practice, you know, a lot of teams practice till 5:30 or whatever. When do you practice or mm-hmm. when do you practice?
We practice right after school 3 days a week, and we're usually there for about 45, 50 minutes or so because a lot of those kids are competing. Like right now, many of the kids are in Rock and Roll Revival, and I want to be respectful of that time. Some of the kids competed in Nordic, or we had a couple basketball players, and I need to make sure that I'm being respectful of their time and just to make sure that they can compete with us. So
they would maybe come there for 45 minutes mm-hmm. on Tuesday, and then they'd run to the basketball practice
right.
and finish
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's kind of crazy.
That's a lot. The kids are involved in multiple things, and they get spread a little thin, and they just do a great job with it. So
what do you do on the days you don't have practice?
On the days that we don't have practice, they just go to their other practices, and that's when me and then there are two assistant coaches, that's when we sit down and take a look at different things that we can study. Sometimes the captains of the team will put together just fun events or like little incentives to study and things like that, and then we get ready for our other practices.
So you said that You look at the patterns
yes.
to try and figure it out. And this
yeah.
time, this year, you're looking at the musical composers.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
when you go to state, who selects the questions?
So the questions are written by an organization in Colorado, actually. And they basically, there are other states, the Knowledgeable exists in multiple states. And they're the ones who are basically giving the regional and then the state people the questions that are used in those competitions. We don't get to see them ahead of time.
Right.
So we are constantly pouring through old packets, old questions. And then just as our regular season is going on, we try to anticipate, like, it's probable that we are going to have a Hamlet question. It is probable that this year we were getting a lot of questions about finance or banking terms, which not a lot of 15-year-olds have
right.
a lot of experience with. So we have to
dig up. I still don't.
Right? We still have to so we dig up resources for that, where we have the econ teacher come in and teach them some basic terms or things like that. So we never get the questions ahead of time.
Right. But you say the
yeah.
regional questions did come from Colorado?
Right. And
so
the
now
state ones will too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think it started in Colorado, actually,
right.
if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's right, yeah.
And I think Minnesota, there's Colorado, Minnesota, Iowa, and Washington
mm-hmm.
State right now that
yep.
have the Knowledge Bowl. So,
and I think North Carolina now is doing it, apparently.
Starting
so,
to grow just
right.
a little bit
yep.
at a time. But,
right.
So what do you do? So what's the time frame? Is it from November to April? Is it from?
It's about that. Yeah, our regular season starts in middle of November. Our first competition is usually beginning of December. The regular season is done at the end of February generally, and then we have a sub-regional competition which all teams go to. The top six in our in AA qualify for regionals. We took five of those six spots. And the regional competition, it's the top two teams in each region, AA and A. And then sort of a wild card, whoever is the third place team in A and AA with the highest score goes. And we were first and third in AA, so we're sending two teams.
Oh, nice.
And Cass and Manorville snuck in there and got second place in our region.
So you're going to go, excuse me, I'm crying and choking up. So, needless to say, there are going to be, I think there's 48 teams that qualify
right,
for the
right.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
It says here 24 and 24, but now
right.
they've expanded yet to
yes.
a triple
A. So they, because there are so many schools that, especially the small schools, like the schools that are 200 people in them, they were competing against schools that were five times their size. So, you know, a Deer River was competing against Cass and Manorville, who has 500-600 kids in it. So now it's A, AA, and triple A. We are the smallest school usually in AAA. And so we have, you know, 1,200, 1,300 kids. And we'll be competing. We know we're competing against Edina, Chaska, Buffalo, Sartell. I'm not quite sure who else is qualified, but bigger schools, and then also some of the bigger private schools. So St. Thomas Academy usually is in there as well.
So they talk about in the state tournament that they begin using a strength of scoring,
yes,
or an SOS. And
yes,
after the last oral rounds, teams receive extra points for each mm-hmm. round they have competed in room one, mm-hmm. room two, and room three.
Right.
What is the room?
So the rooms are ranked. So room one or room A is where the highest three teams or the teams with the highest scores after each round. And if you don't do well in room A, you may get bumped down to room C, or you may get bumped down to room D. And because you are competing in those higher rooms, your scores are probably not going to be as high, because you're all holding down, you're sharing those points probably. You are given an extra point or extra, you know, point or two depending on the room you're in. So the highest room gets, I think, 2 points. Every time you're in that room, you get an extra 2 points.
How do you get in that room?
By doing really well.
That's it.
By being the highest teams from round to round. And it can vary. Like if you don't do well in room A, you're going to get bumped down to room B or C. And you don't get the strength of scoring. And if you do well in room C, and then you get you might get bumped back up to room A. So
there, it said 48 teams, but mm-hmm. now you've got AAA, AA, and single A.
So it's going to be 12 or 13 in each of those.
Okay.
Yeah, I think.
But then,
yeah.
Well, okay, so if you got, well, let's see. But maybe there's got to be 24 schools maybe somewhere,
right,
in
yep.
one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you go 12 in AA, 12 in, or 12 in triple, 12
yep.
in double, and then maybe 24 in Class A or something.
Usually,
or the other way around.
I'm not sure. Yeah, they just started it last year, so I can't remember how many teams. I want to say there were 13 or 14 in each. I think it kind of depends on those wild card mm-hmm. teams and things too. So, but it used to be 24 and 24.
Do you golf?
I do not.
Oh,
my husband does, but I do not.
I was going to say it's too bad because you get to go to Craig's Resort and hang out. But
yep.
But yeah. So then you've got you have the banquet, it says, and then
right.
and then you have the written round right after the banquet that
yep.
night.
Mm-hmm, they do.
And then the following day is the oral
rounds. Right.
And there's 45 question oral rounds.
That's right.
Five times. So 45.
Yes.
That's do the math. Whatever that is, 240 something.
Lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of questions.
I'd have to ask my knowledge.
That's a lot of questions.
That is, and it gets exhausting. Mentally, and we talk about this a lot. You know, it's important to get to be physically ready for that because it's a lot to eat well, to get a good night's sleep, to just be prepared for that because it can be exhausting. It's exhausting. You know, sometimes I'm a reader and it's exhausting just to read the questions.
Right.
I can't even imagine competing.
Right. But again, oral. So mm-hmm. all four of your, because I think it's four competitors, right? Four or five?
There are five kids in each team and
okay.
there are three teams in a room.
Okay. So mm-hmm. you're all sitting there. You got the power of the buzzer strip right in front of you.
Right.
So everyone has access to the buzzer.
Yes.
I'm assuming.
Yes.
Right. So literally, as the question's being read off, if whatever, someone, boom, they hit the buzzer.
Uh-huh.
Burp. Okay. Now do they get to?
They get to whisper for about 15 seconds. And then once the bell rings or whatever, then they have to come up with
they
an answer.
They have to answer.
Yep.
And then obviously if they're right, they're right.
They're right, they're right.
And
they
if they're wrong.
If they're wrong, if another team is also buzzed in, then whoever's buzzed in next gets a shot at it. And then
I was going to say, do they get to finish the question?
No.
No.
If everybody is buzzed in, the question stops where
okay.
everybody buzzed in. If there is a team who has not buzzed in, they get the whole question.
Oh,
read.
There you go.
So
there you
go.
Well,
yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. You want to hear a sample question?
Sure.
I brought some.
Okay.
So let's see how you do.
Let's do it. Michelle Sonica, excuse me, is our knowledge bowl. Coach, did you know we had a knowledge bowl? Well, we're going to find out how knowledgeable I am.
Okay, so which pope presided over the Western
Francis.
Church?
Francis. I don't know.
During the contentious divorce of Henry VIII and was a patron of Michelangelo, was imprisoned by Charles V and approved of Copernicus's heliocentric theory and it's Clement the VII.
Oh, that's the answer.
That's the answer.
See, yeah. I was going to say that, and then you gave the answer too soon. Sorry.
I knew, so. Okay. Or what cellular component of human blood lacks nuclei and carries oxygen to tissues? So for both of those questions, we read these this week, and they got both of these. I stopped at
which blood? Is this the... That's not a neutron. What is it?
It is red blood cells.
Oh, the red.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, I stopped at, or they
somebody out
me,
there right now is going, duh.
Yeah, right.
You gotta, don't know that, Jimmy.
Like, which pope presided over the Western? So, they would stop me after Henry VIII, and they knew the answer. And
right.
So, those would be some of the questions, like, yeah.
That is odd. That's an odd, that's an odd question.
Yep.
To be able to
they
know.
They knew it. They knew
how,
it.
Okay. What are they reading? What?
These are some smart kids.
Yeah.
These are kids who are great students, but they also just have sort of this really intrinsic joy of learning. So in their spare time, they're reading. In their spare time, they're watching YouTube videos. In their spare time, they are going to museums. They are, you know, these kids are bright.
Any of them Jeopardy bound that we know of?
We'll find out.
Yeah. Is that a list of your state competitors?
Yes.
Would you mind reading them off and give them a little chat,
to.
little pat on the back here?
Our captains are seniors Allie Hoffert, Cricket Mooring, Gabriel Fisher Navarro, and Jackson Hessian. They are all seniors. Then we have Lilith Brunel, Hal Shuffleton, Brady Dietz, Quinn Lovick, Miles Martig, and then our only junior, Will Flannery.
How's the people below them? So
they're good. They're
good
coming
too?
Up. Yep.
Very nice. Well,
yep.
Listen, I've got about 14,000 more questions, but
sure.
Unfortunately, I only have so much time.
Well, yeah, and you've got some kids out there.
We got some hockey players
you.
Sitting
yep.
out here that they're chomping at the bit, and they're 17, 18 years old,
yep.
so those hormones are going crazy in the springtime. But I want to thank you, Michelle, for coming in, and congratulations
Thanks
to you
so much.
And to
thank
the
you.
Team.
Thank you very
obviously.
Much.
Obviously. And that's Michelle Sadaga. She is the... Oh, it's Hanukkah because
Hanukkah,
it rhymes
yeah.
like Hanukkah. So
right.
anyhow, that's per Michelle. So
yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk to our hockey players. You're listening to the Raider Rap on KYMN 95.1 The One.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
At Merchants Bank, we're committed to creating thriving communities and helping our customers succeed. Hi, I'm Rob, the mortgage lender at Merchants Bank. It is such a privilege to work with a company where all employees are focused on providing the very best customer service. We'll be with you every step of the way as we work towards your financial goals together, whether it's growing a business, buying a home, or planning for retirement. Yeah, we're a bank, but what we really do is make life moments happen. Stop in. I look forward to making your goals a reality.
Hello, I'm your mayor, Rhonda Pownell, and I would like to cordially invite you to this year's State of the City Address on March 19th, 2024 at 6 p.m. at the White Center.
Follow your heart to a caring career and provide care and support to elderly Minnesotans and residents with disabilities. It's a great opportunity for anyone who wants fulfilling employment, and a high school diploma or GED is all that's needed to start. No healthcare experience is required, and employers provide your training. Great growth opportunities are available across Minnesota, so get your new career started right away. Visit CareerForceMN.com. CareerForceMN.com. Make a difference in someone's life.
95.1. The One.
If there's one thing we have learned over the previous few years, it's that we all do better together. The Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce believes in the power of community. This is why, for over 100 years, they have focused on growing and developing Northfield and the surrounding area into a thriving community that it is today. The Northfield Area Chamber is a local nonprofit that creates meaningful connections between businesses and the working professionals who work so hard to make this town thrive. When you become a member of the Northfield Chamber of Commerce, you open the door to so many of those opportunities. Together, we all do better. Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce, supporting business, connecting communities, and growing a greater Northfield.
Well, welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN 95.1, the 1 and AM 1080. And we're back, and we've got a whole room full of young men here that have decided to join us from the state-bound hockey team. We have got Christian Whiteman, we've got Ben Geiger, we've got Jake Geiger, we've got Will Cashin, and we have Michael Stewart in the studio this morning. So let's jump over to Jake over here. He's a senior, so we're going to jump over to Jake real quick. And I guess the primary reason we're going to be talking to you is you won the Herbie Brooks Award.
Yep.
So did you see that coming?
No, not at all.
Did you know anything about it before you took on Orono?
No.
Nobody told you?
Nobody told me.
Did you even know you were nominated?
Nope. Nobody told me a thing.
Really? Did any of you guys know any of that or nothing?
Nobody knew anything.
I think actually your coach knew.
Well, he knew. Yeah, he knew. He didn't know I won, he told me. He knew I was in the final three.
Oh.
But he didn't know I won until they told me.
When did they tell you?
Right after the Orono games.
Serious?
Mm-hmm.
Because you had to then, because you guys got done.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a little, because they were going to do it over at the XL Energy Center at the end of that game over there. So you had maybe, what, an hour to, like, get cleaned up, get dressed? And
not
get
even.
There?
I kind of had to get my butt out of the locker room and head over to the X, like, kind of right away. Then I had to go down and talk to all the people, and, yeah.
Did you do the press conference? Did you get a little press conference?
Oh, yeah, a little press conference.
Yeah? So was there a lot of people asking you questions?
No, it was just one guy.
Yeah?
Well, the press conference wasn't really the biggest thing.
Right. Were your parents around?
Yeah. They were there the whole time.
Were they, how'd they work out? Did they meet you at the X?
No, they drove me to the X.
Oh, they were at the game.
Yeah, so right after the game I got off, we went in our locker room and talked, the coaches and us, like we all talked together. And then the guy, or Lucky, told me I had to go out and talk to a guy and said I won the award. And then he told my parents and told me that I had to get my butt out of the locker room and get over to the X really quick. So they drove me there. And then these guys all came after.
So you guys make it to the XL in time for him to walk out and get his award? Or?
Yeah, we did.
Nice. What'd you think, Christian? What do you think about that? Was that cool? Did you know anything about that? I mean, you didn't know, obviously, before the game.
No, we had no idea. It was pretty special, though. We knew he deserved it, but we all had no idea it was coming. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what's next?
I'm just going to go to college.
Where are you going
to
go?
Iowa State.
Nice. What are you going to do?
Electrical engineering.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You going to play some hockey?
I don't think they have hockey there.
No, they don't. No, huh? Not in Iowa.
Baseball. I'm gonna ref hockey in Iowa.
Really?
Yeah, I'm gonna ref hockey there.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good for you, because there's refs are tough to come by.
Yeah.
Right.
Good,
on.
Good college job.
Yeah. Good. Mm-hmm. Well, it is. Why not? So, and that's in Ames.
Yeah. Ames.
Nice. So, did you get a any type of a did you get any scholarship or anything?
Yeah,
like that?
A big academic scholarship, and then I still gotta fill out all the other. Iowa State scholarships and schools, like Northfield school scholarships.
Okay, one more question.
Yeah.
What else comes away with that Herb Brooks Award or anything like that? Did you get some money? Did you get some cash?
Yeah, so I got that trophy, and then I got $1,000 worth of scholarship money.
Nice.
To go with it, so it's very helpful.
Yeah. Was Mrs. Brooks there or anything like that? Was there any pomp and circumstance, like a big party or something?
Yeah, his grandsons are the ones that present it to the players out on the ice. So I met him, and then I talked to their mom, or so his daughter, Herb Brooks' daughter, for a little bit.
Okay, so
yeah,
that was kind of cool. You ever see the movie?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Everybody better see the movie.
Yeah, everyone better see the movie. All right, well, so we're going to move on. So now we're going to introduce Jake Geiger, or excuse me, Ben, to the fold here real quick. So now we got all the boys up here. So you're only a freshman?
Yep.
And all you guys are underclassmen. So you're all going to be back next year. So let's talk about that. You know, you had your front line over here, right? You had the Munson and Geiger and Kaisers and blah, you know, right? Ben, you're a defenseman.
Yep.
You're only in ninth grade. Mm-hmm. Where do you feel you're getting some of your skills there? I mean, you're a pretty decent stick handler, and he's you're getting all your talent from Jake. Is that the deal?
Yeah, and then I feel like I get half my talent from my dad, too. He was a good hockey player back when he played.
Nice. And, of course, Michael Stewart, you played as well in the state tournament, and you got some good ice time. So Where do you attribute some of your skills there a little bit?
I mean, I don't know, because my parents never played hockey, because my dad was born in Pennsylvania, and I don't think they had hockey back then, like in there at least. So, I mean, they've never been around hockey, like anyone in my family, until I joined it. So, I don't know.
When did you join it?
I joined when I was younger.
Yeah.
I played basketball, though, too, so I was like, I had to make a choice between basketball and hockey when I was a little kid, like in elementary school still. And I chose hockey, and then I just never really looked back from there. So.
Yeah. You just love it. Just love playing the game.
Yeah, it's great.
Will, how about you? What's your story? Where are you at with your hockey career?
Kind of just played hockey my whole life. Started when I was about 3 and kind of just took off from there, fell in love with it. And then Dad really just pushed me to be better and kind of just loved it ever since and kept playing. Grew up in Faribault, playing over there, and these guys were all my rivals, and then came over here and joined them. And
did you move over here, or you just open and roll?
I moved over here after my Pee Wee season. Played 2 years of Bantams, and then last 2 years of high school, and obviously made it to state both times, so pretty successful.
Yeah, no kidding, right? So that's got to be fun. So how was that state thing there, Christian? You were there last year too, weren't you? And did you play last year for Northfield for the state?
I was in Bantams last year, but
okay.
Yeah, we went to state last year in Bantams too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, did you win?
No, we did not.
Oh, bummer. Yep. Yeah. So what was that experience like going to the Xcel Energy Center, just being, you know, in this state tournament?
Yeah, it was a dream come true. It's something that I think we all talked about and looked forward to before the season started. And something we all kind of just would joke around about every day, but we all knew it was a possibility, and we made it happen.
I know, Will, you spend a lot of time in front of the net.
take a beating sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you got crushed in a couple of those. St. Cloud Cathedral was physical. They were crazy.
They're big boys.
I'm trying to think which game it was that I swear you got body slammed to the ground. I can't remember if it was in the regional finals or what that was. I think it was against Dodge County. And number 18, I think, just dropped people on the...
I got killed a couple times. One time a helmet came off, so it was an interesting one.
You regret that possession, or you still like banging it out in there?
I mean, it doesn't really hurt. I mean, it just looks bad, but I definitely don't regret it. I mean, it's fun being in the dirty areas and putting in the work in front of the net. I mean, eventually it pays off. So,
well, actually all three of you, but you both, Michael Stewart over here and Christian Whiteman, you guys spend a lot. I mean, you guys are banging off the boards and stuff all the time. What is that like? I mean, you're taking a pretty good beating too, because you're trying to clear the zone all the time, right?
Yeah. No. I started the year at wing, obviously, and then that was where it was worse, because just when you're trying to get the pucks out of the zone, there's people pinching down on you, and you're just taking bodies the whole time. But then I got halfway through the year, I got moved to center, so I had to hand the beatings over to Will, because we switched. So then he started taking more, and then I started taking less. So, I mean,
you got to like that.
Yeah, I know. It was a lot better for me. But, I mean, winger is more of a tough position, I feel like, because just on the battles on the boards is just really tough.
How about you, Ben? You're obviously a defenseman, so you're at the top of the circle. You're not really, you know, it's not offensive-minded, but when they clear the puck and they dump it into your zone, you've got to go back and get it. And usually somebody's coming right in behind you and wants to take your head off.
It's a little scary. I don't have anywhere to go, especially when I'm by myself. I just don't know what to do, and sometimes I just ring it.
Right. Right. Well, there's other times I do watch. Sometimes, like you'll put your, I'll watch you. You'll drop your head, and it's like, okay, he's there. I know he's there. And then you'll like hit your brakes a little bit and just, you know, move just a little so he misses it.
Yeah.
So are you allowed to put mirrors in your helmet or anything like that so you can see what's going on?
That would be very helpful.
Yeah. No kidding. So that was your first experience at the state tournament. What'd you think about that?
It was awesome. I loved it, every second of it, especially playing with Jake in the state tournament. It was just a dream come true.
Was that the first time you guys had worked together?
Yep.
And so you got to spend the whole year. How did you end up a defenseman?
I started out as a forward when I was really young, but then there was someone better than me at forward that was a defenseman. So I got moved back to defense, and I just fell in love with defense.
So you want to stay there then?
Yep.
Very cool. How about you guys? Are you guys going to be remaining forwards and stuff like that as well? And
Yeah, I'll stay at forward. I've never even tried to play defense because that wouldn't go too well. Backward skating, I'm not a fan of. So.
Oh, no? Backward skating's not your deal,
no,
huh?
No.
Will, you're so what's your what position are you? You're,
started as center and then moved to right wing. Okay. Within a year.
But you're spending a lot of time in the net there, so
yeah, a lot of more up in the zone playing offense, not dropping back, skating backwards. I mean, I feel like my talents lie closer to the net than far away.
So, Christian, what position do you play?
Right wing.
Right, you're right wing as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so, are you considered an offensive weapon?
I don't know. I'd like to think so, but
what are we looking forward to next year? I guess are we going to see a high scoring, high flying group of guys out here? Or what do we got?
Obviously, we're losing really talented senior class, so we have I think it's 10 or 11 guys returning that played varsity this year. So you know, we just have to fill those roles to the best of our ability, and we got some good young guys coming up. But I think the guys returning are going to have to fill kind of the scoring that we're losing with Jake, Caden, Cam, and those guys. So.
Well, I know that. I mean, obviously, you're going to still be defense and whatnot, but that top line was, what did they get? They rattled off about 185 points. That's quite a bit of points going on there. So, but Christian, you came up with, what'd you end up with at the year? 15 points,
yep.
9 goals, 6 assists. Ben, you've got 2 assists and or 21 assists, 2 goals, but obviously defense, you're not expected, I'm guessing, to step up offensively, are you? Or what do you think?
I do a little bit when I can, but mostly I just play defense.
And Michael, you had 24 points on the season, 7 goals and 17 assists, so again, a lot of assists. Will, 11 goals, 22 assists, or 22 points, excuse me, with a what'd you end up with here? You had looks like you had 11 goals and 22 assists. Or no, what am I looking?
Yeah,
33 points.
Yeah,
so that isn't bad. But of course, you're standing out in front of the net. You better start scoring, right?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, there's definitely a lot this year. I felt kind of goal struck and couldn't get it done. So obviously, next year, hoping to bridge that gap and contribute more.
So Andrew Winter, who's not in the studio today, one of the guys that aren't in the studio today. I don't know if you guys watched that. Did you talk to him after the Orono game at all? Because he lost that 1-1. And I don't know, there was a after they scored their first goal, there was a shot. There was a, literally the puck was sitting in the crease, in the blue paint, right there. And Andrew, it was wide open because the play was going this way. The puck popped out here. Andrew was standing right there, and he missed it. And then the goalie slid it and jumped it out. Did anyone see that? Talk to him about that or?
I didn't see anything, no.
No,
it hasn't surprised me, though.
Yeah. We're kind of used to him missing open nets around here. It happened a couple times this year. Jake and Cam would give him nice feeds right in the slot, and he'd airmail one over the net, so.
Well, we'll have to tighten up on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, guys, I appreciate you coming. Hey, congrats on a great season, man. It was fun watching you guys. It was fun calling your games. I mean, it was just exciting going into it. And, you know, you lost to the state champions, so. You know, what can you say? So St. Cloud Cathedral was a pretty good hockey team. And that Orono game was just, that was unfortunate because I think you guys played an outstanding game and it was fun to watch and you gave the fans something to do. So congratulations on a great year and we look forward to next year's competition and hope you guys are competitive and let's get back on top of the Big Nine, shall we?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That is Jake Geiger, Ben Geiger, Christian Whiteman, Will Cashin, and Michael Stewart of the boys hockey team. We'll take a break and we'll come back. And I think we're going to talk track coming up here with Meet the Raider. You're listening to the Raider Rap on 95.1 The One KYMN. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Community banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
This is Paul Ryland from Johnson Ryland Homes. The spring preview parade of homes has begun. We have 4 model homes to look at. This may be the perfect opportunity for you to view in person your ideal new home. All 4 of these homes feature no barrier walk-in showers, 3-foot wide doors, and step-free entries to be wheelchair visitable. Plus, twin home and single family lots in a brand new subdivision in Cannon Falls. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, or give us a call, 507-366-1288. Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, a family tradition of over 50 years.
There's nothing better than riding my bike and spending time outside. When knee pain started to get in the way, I knew it was time to find help. I did my research and chose the orthopedics team at Northfield Hospital and Clinics. I was impressed by their personalized care. They really took the time to listen to my concerns so I could make an informed decision. 3 months later, I couldn't be happier. My knee feels great and I'm back outside. I appreciate the extra care I got from the orthopedic team at Northfield Hospital and Clinics.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bress, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
Purchasing a home is a big decision, which is why your mortgage should be carefully considered. At Community Resource Bank, our lenders have decades of experience financing everything from starter homes to dream homes, and refinancing and remodeling along the way. Go online to crb.bank and do a quick calculation of how much you qualify for, or stop into one of our branches in Cannon Falls, Roseville, or Northfield. Community Resource Bank, let's bank together. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back to the Raider Wrap, and it's getting a little breezy out there, it looks like. Looks like we got partly sunny skies today as the clouds continue to roll in here in the Cannon Valley. We expect a high today, hopefully, of around 46, but the winds are picking up out of the northwest, cooling things off a little bit. Winds 15 to 25 miles an hour, gusts as high as 30 to 35 miles an hour, and as I look out at the studio, I can see the trees starting to bend a little bit as well. So tonight, partly cloudy, cooling off to 22, and then sunny skies and a high of only 34 tomorrow. Sunday night, mostly clear, cooling off to around 16. Monday, some sunshine, but not as warm, only 38. Partly cloudy with a low of around 30 on Monday night. The extended forecast for Tuesday looks like a high near 48. Breezy conditions, Tuesday night, clear, 21. And then sunny and 43 for Wednesday. Wednesday night is 20% chance of snow. Yes, I said it, a 20% chance of snow. And, of course, on the first day of spring, we get a chance of snow. Isn't that just crazy? But anyhow, it'll be partly sunny, or excuse me, a chance of snow on Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, cooling off to 25. Thursday, a 30% chance of snow and a high of 46. So it's not going to stick around very long, that's for sure. Thursday, 40% chance of snow, mostly cloudy, cooling off to 26. And then more chance of snow on Friday, partly sunny, but a high of 41. So if we do see some snow, it's not going to stick around very long for sure. But still, we don't have any snow during the entire winter season. And when spring hits, we get snow. Isn't this just the goofiest winter you have ever seen in your life? Wow. Well, we're at 41 with overcast skies, and it is indeed windy out there. So it is time for the Meet the Raider. And we'll have to check in here. And Addison Enfield joins us on Meet the Raiders. So let's see what they've got in store for us today.
Hello and good morning, Raider Nation. Welcome back to Meet the Raider, the number one youth-led Northfield sports radio show. I am your host, Liz Campbell, and today we have star runner Addison Enfield in the studio today. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, of course.
So we're a good ways into the school year so far. We're into second semester. Can you tell us how the school year has been going for you?
Junior year is kind of kicking my butt, honestly. Yeah, it's probably the hardest year of school I've gone through. I'm in a bunch of AP courses and advanced courses, so that's probably part of the reason. But yeah, I'm getting good grades still, so.
Yeah, for sure. And what sports specifically are you involved in?
I'm involved in Raider track and field and cross country.
And can you give us a little bit of a background on how you started running and why you started running?
Yeah, I started running during COVID because I just needed something to do, something to get my heart rate up. And then my mom was like, oh, you should go join the cross-country team. And so there was kind of just some, like, peer pressure from my mom to go do it. Yeah, that's how we're here now.
Did you play any other sports before you joined cross-country?
I did. I played hockey for 7-ish years. up until my last year was, I was a freshman. So that was my last year that I played.
You quit hockey, right?
Yes.
Did you quit for cross country, or how did that kind of go?
I quit for hockey. I think the team environment of cross country was just way better than what's on the hockey team. And so I kind of quit for that too. And just because I really enjoyed running and wanted to pour my heart and soul into that.
And were there any other factors that made you join besides your mom? Like, do you have any friends in it, anything like that?
I actually didn't really know anyone in cross country when I joined. My mom did see Nicole at a, like, sports event thing, and Nicole, like, introduced herself
because
I had
worked.
Yeah, Nicole. Yeah, the head coach. She introduced herself to my mom because I had been running middle school track with her. I was like, oh, you should have Addison come out for cross country. And I think that's what kind of sparked the idea in my mom's head to, like, get me to join. Mm-hmm. So.
And then you mentioned a little bit about the team, but was there anything else that made you stay and stick with cross country specifically?
I think I just became a really decent runner really fast. And I think I found something in myself that I knew I was good at and that made me proud of myself. And that's also another reason that I stuck with it, just, like, enjoying the sport and also being good at something is really fun.
Mm-hmm. And your freshman year when you joined cross country, you had a little bit of a breakthrough season that was a little bit unexpected. Can you walk us through what that was like for you?
For, like, the first probably, like, month of cross, I was going to quit, like, 100% going to quit cross. I hated it so much. And my mom was like, you are not quitting, like, you're going to finish the season. So I was like, okay, whatever. So I kind of, like, put my mind to it and was like, okay, like, let's just get through this season. And then once I actually started to do the training and started to meet new people and started to get a grasp on the team, I kind of just skyrocketed with the training plan and all the training that I put in. And then soon enough, I was second on varsity.
Yeah. Your freshman year was a little bit of a COVID year still.
Yeah.
How would you say that year is different from, let's say, this season or some other more normal seasons?
My freshman year, we were co-ed. So it was boys and girls team, and now it is split, girls and boys. So I think that's really changed. But other than that, the dynamic of the girls team has pretty much stayed the same, stayed really healthy, stayed really good. But yeah, I think that's probably the only major thing that's changed with the team.
You mentioned that once you really got into cross country, that first season you ended up loving it and ended up being really good at it. What would you say keeps you coming back to cross country? Like, what motivates you to really put your heart and soul into it every single season?
Yeah, I think just, like, the validation that I feel, like, being good at something is really what keeps me coming back. And just, like, the goal of being a collegiate athlete, running at maybe an upper-level college, upper-level division. Also, just the team environment. Everybody I've met through cross is just amazing. Like, lifelong friends that I've made, they're just all awesome.
The cross-country team environment has been described very differently than a lot of other sports. How would you say that team environment compares to maybe your hockey teammates or any other sports you're in, even track?
Well, track is really different because we're all just split up in event groups, and I think the distance team really stays like the cross environment. Compared to hockey, I think, I don't know, I just felt more of a community when I joined cross compared to, like, what was set in the with the girls' hockey team. They're all very good humans. I like all of them, but I just, like, felt more welcomed and more involved in the cross-country team, and I think that's what really sets cross-country apart, is just, like, welcoming environment and, like, inclusion of everyone, bringing everyone up all the time.
Yeah. Being such a good runner your first year of cross-country, did you feel any kind of pressure going into your sophomore year, your second season, to, like, live up to people's expectations of you?
Yeah, a little bit. I think my sophomore year was a big year because it was our first real chance at making it to the state meet. And I think that me coming into the season having been second on varsity and not, we didn't know at that time that if our top runner was going to come back, Callie Graber, avid wrestler, really good wrestler. So we didn't know if she was going to come back or not. I, like, stepped in and I was like, I basically thought, like, oh, I'm number one on the team right now. I need to set the standard for what, like, how the season is going to be led and, like, how it's going to be run. And I think there was a lot of pressure on me for that, and just because of the chance at state, it was a really big deal for us.
Yeah. And what would you say has been a highlight from your entire running career so far?
I'm going to jump over to track now because I think track is probably my favorite of the two. But I think my, like, conference and sections last track season, was kind of like my breakthrough mile races. Really enjoyed those. That was very highlight memory type of thing for me.
Yeah. And what would you say has been your biggest challenge so far throughout all of your running?
Definitely my stress fracture. 100% my stress fracture. Yeah, that was a big deal.
Can you kind of walk us through, like, what happened and how you dealt with that?
Yeah, so I ran all throughout the summer. So this was before cross country, my junior year, so this year. Ran all throughout the summer, probably around 250-ish miles that summer is what I clocked in at. Started the season fine. We were doing good. And then all of a sudden, like, the top of my foot started to hurt. And I was like, oh, this is weird. Like, what's going on? And I was like, oh, it might be some tendonitis or, like, some tendon issues or muscle issues. And so I took some rest days, iced it a lot. I don't know how many times I iced my foot, but it was a lot of ice. And it just wouldn't go away. So I was like, okay. And then I was talking to Anna Forbord, one of our other varsity cross-country athletes. Like, I talked about, like, what my pain was and what it was feeling like and where it hurt. She's like, yeah, that sounds like a stress fracture, Addison, like, because she had one. Mm-hmm. She was like, it really does relate to mine. She goes, I think you should go get that checked out. And I was like, oh, shoot, this is not good. This might be actually really bad. So I went to the doctor, got it checked out. Stage something stress fracture, one of the worst stages in my second metatarsal closer to my heel. And yeah, I was out for the rest of the cross-country season, and that was really, really hard for me. Fell into a not-so-great mental state when I was told I couldn't run, was really, really anxious about my recruitment and getting onto a college-level team. So yeah, I got through that. I was there supporting the team most of the time with probably a fake smile on my face and a big old boot running around. Yeah, it was really hard for me. And then once I started running again, it was like, okay, feeling a little bit better. And then I think finally 6 weeks ago, I finally got to run consistently on the ground for like 4-ish days a week, and like light switch popped onto my head, like the dopamine was like rushing in. It was so great. And now track started in, and I couldn't be happier.
Do you have any advice for someone who's going through the same kind of thing, whether that be in another sport or this sport, just some big injury that's really holding them back?
I had a very good physical therapist, and I was very hesitant about trusting her and trusting my doctors at first, because I was like, oh, this can't be that bad. I can't be out this season. It's my junior season. Like, it's my biggest season. Once I trusted them and put like my entire trust into them, that's pretty much what got me through it as quick as I did. Because for a stress fracture, I got through it pretty quickly, got back on my feet pretty quick. So just like trust in your doctors and do what they say to do. Like, if you have physical therapy, you need to be doing that. And I know everyone says that, but it's true. And it's like, you don't want to hear that when you're injured, and you really don't want to believe that you're injured, but you really need to do that. And it's what got me through that. So I think just trusting your doctors, and also just knowing that it will get better at some point. Even if it takes a longer time, it will get better, and you will still be good, and you will still get back into shape and still be good at your sport. I think I'm really feeling that now. I haven't fallen behind. I trusted the training. I lifted all the time. I was on the Alter G, which is like a low gravity treadmill, so I wasn't full body weight, but I was still running. So I had my anaerobic base and aerobic base and stuff like that was still there. And once I started running with my teammates again, I could easily keep up, like old times, like back to normal. Like, I just got through my injury and back out there I was. Yeah, but also just like give yourself some grace too. Once you get back, it's gonna be so hard to get back into shape, and that's okay. Like, you were out for 4 months. Like, it's totally fine to be out of shape, and just like give yourself some grace. So yeah, trust your doctors, give yourself some grace, and then trust yourself that you'll get back.
You're a captain this year for track. Mm-hmm. What does that look like day to day for you? Like, what are your responsibilities like? How is that looking going into the first couple weeks of season?
Yeah, I'm really liking it, actually. I've met a lot. I've talked to a lot of new people that I didn't really know. And the track team has 78 girls signed up right now. So it is a big obligation to be a track captain and leading the team, leading that big of a team. Coach Smith, great. Love working with her. My co-captains are awesome. Yeah, I think just, like, taking on new roles of just, like, a leadership role is really fitting for me. I don't know. I think I've just kind of, like, fell into the position, and I hope I'm doing okay at it. I feel like I am. I feel like I'm living up to the expectations Smith has set. Yeah. It's really fun. I really enjoy it.
And if you're just tuning into the Raider Wrap, we are meeting with star runner Addison Enfield. And you were in this exact same studio about a year and a half ago for an interview. How would you say you've grown and progressed since then?
Yeah, I actually listened to that interview a couple weeks ago. I just, like, listened to it again because I was on the KYMN website waiting for the Northfield Live for the boys hockey section tournament or whatever. And I was like, oh, let's just take a listen. And I said on there, my goal was to break 20. And now I have a goal of breaking 18, which is like ridiculous. Cause I got to 19 minutes. So after saying like, oh, I want to break 20, I got to 19 early junior season, probably would have been sub 19 had I not gotten injured. So yeah, my goals have definitely changed, become way bigger. Like goals as a collegiate athlete too. Like I was not wanting to go Division I at all. And now it's one of my big goals is to go D1 and run. So I think that has changed. And then just emotionally and mentally, I think I've just grown a lot stronger. I feel like I've gotten a lot more grit going through that injury. And it just, I don't know, it really changed me. And I think mentally I'm coming out of it and it's going to be for the better.
And what initially drew you towards joining track?
It's kind of just like, oh, you did cross, like you should do distance track. I was like, okay. And I had met the head track coach through cross country because she was an assistant coach when I was a freshman. Now she's the head boys coach for cross country. But I met her and I was like, okay, she's kind of cool. I'll go train with her for a little bit. And then I ended up really liking track.
And what are you hoping to accomplish this upcoming track season?
Upcoming track season, I want to get the school record for the mile. I think that would be really cool. School record's 5:10. Hoping to get like a 5:09, 5:08. I want to fulfill my role as a leader. I think that's one of my big goals, and like have a connection with everyone on the team, make sure that the season is really fun for everyone, including me, make sure everyone else is able to hit their goals. Yeah, other than that, I think, oh, state too. I think state. Maybe Hamlin Elite Meet, but we'll see. That's kind of early in the season. But yeah, we were in AAA last season, and I came in third at the section meet. I was way behind the two top girls. They were just insane. Yeah, came in third. If I would have gotten second, it would have been state. But now we're in AA, and I'm seated number one right now already in the section. And so I'm hoping to go to state and maybe Hamlin.
And how does this season feel or look different from past years, maybe coming off of an injury or being a captain this year?
Yeah, captain is for sure different. Like, I have a big hat on my head now because I'm just a leader on the team, and I have a lot more jobs, and I feel a bigger role than I used to. So I think it's been really fun so far. I really like it. Competition-wise, I have no idea where I'm standing. I have no idea how fast I am currently. We're doing a time trial next week, so we'll see. I think my training over the winter, like weight training and physical therapy, it probably gonna be fine. Yeah, there's always that worry, like, oh, what if I'm not fast anymore? Like, what if I'm not gonna hit those times ever again? But I think I should be okay. Crossing my fingers.
Do you have any advice for any younger runners, whether they're looking to join cross country or track or trying distance out?
I don't know. I think of Micaiah when I talk about this, because she was also really fast like me when I was really young. She has pretty bad race anxiety, I think, and she gets pretty nervous before races. So I think just it's really hard to, like, it's way easier to say than it is to do. But I think just knowing, okay, I'm young, I have a lot more time, do not need to be putting this much pressure on myself to run fast, and just like run for the fun of it. Seriously, it's going to be some of the best years of your life is high school and sports teams in high school, and you won't ever get that back. So don't spend it worrying over a race is what I think.
What would you say your biggest strength is as a runner or as a teammate?
I think I am probably one of the more like motivating people on the team, I'd say.
Inspiring.
Inspiring. I think I was told that a lot when I was out because I just wasn't at practice all the time. And they're like, oh, I really like notice it without you. It's really different. And I was like, yeah. So yeah, I think my biggest strength would probably be just my motivation that I give other people and energy bringing the team up. As a runner, like physically, I think I have the mental capabilities to just turn a switch and go. And I think that's a really big thing, and just know like the pain is temporary and just give it my all. I think that's probably my biggest strength mentally and like physically is just being able to hit that switch.
Do you have any favorite ways to recover from a hard week of practice or a hard practice? Like, do you have any recovering techniques?
Yeah, I really like taking ice baths, actually. It's not like actual ice baths. I just turn my bath on really cold and then just sit in there. Like, I don't even get my whole body wet. I just get my legs wet. And it's really cold, and my legs feel good after that. Otherwise, just lots of sleep. It's a water, because it's important.
And obviously, you mentioned earlier that you're taking some pretty rough classes this year. It's kind of kicking your butt. How would you say you balance being a student and an athlete? Like, how do you take care of your schoolwork and take care of your body at the same time?
Yeah, I think that's been harder for me this year, actually, just because of the workload that I have. Honestly, just doing what you can, I always put my body and my, like, physical needs before my homework, and I think that's probably the way that it should be. Like, I put my sleep before pretty much everything. I don't get enough sleep, but I put my stuff away and go to bed at, like, 10:30. Just, like, also talking to your teachers. Most teachers are really understanding of student-athletes and know that there's a lot going on, especially, like, filling a role as a captain, too. A lot of my teachers are like, oh, she's probably, like, stressed out right now. She's probably exhausted. And so just, like, communicating with your teachers and be like, hey, can I just have a day extension on this? That would be great. And a lot of your teachers are going to be really understanding. So I think just, like, communication and putting in the time that you have to do schoolwork, to do that, spending a lot of time on weekends, like on a Sunday when I don't have practice, is when I dial in and get stuff done.
How do you also balance your mental health being an athlete? Like, how do you balance worrying about your athletic performance and your academic performance? And how do you think that takes a toll on your mental health?
I think this year it's taken a way bigger toll on my mental health just because, again, of the workload that I have. And also I'm filling a captain role. And so I think I'm more worried now because I have more work and I have to fill a bigger role at track and at cross. So yeah, I think managing that, like getting my heart rate up really helps with that. Like track itself, like running actually really helps with that. I feel way better after I run or like do cross training or something just to get my heart rate up. Also just getting sleep too is really important. I'm way more like delusional when I'm tired and way more worried about everything when I'm tired. So just like getting sleep, talking about stuff. My mom is a really good person to go to. Just like talking about all the things is also really good for me. So I think that's probably how I handle that balance.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today.
Yeah, of course. Anytime.
If you missed part of this interview live or want to listen to it again, head to our website, kymnradio.net, and tap on the sports header. That's a wrap on this week's Meet the Raider with your host, Liz Campbell. Keep tuning in this week for more sports on KYMN 95.1 The One.
Thinking about a new look or just want to freshen up your current style? Visit Family Hair in downtown Northfield, a locally owned and operated salon just across the parking lot from Just Food Co-op on Water Street. Christy and her professional team of stylists will leave you feeling great and looking terrific. Family Hair offers a variety of services: haircuts, colors, waxing, beard trimming, perms, and kids' cuts. Their rates can't be beat, so make an appointment at familyhairnorthfield.com or walk in to see the friendly and experienced staff at Family Hair, where they know when you look good, you feel good.
Every day, each and every one of us at Benjamin Bus feels privileged to safely transport Northfield students to and from school and many after-school activities. We thank you for trusting Benjamin Bus with your most precious cargo, your children. At Benjamin Bus, safety is always our number one priority. Our team of drivers has over 400 years of combined experience, and they pride themselves on their record of keeping the children of this community safe. We at Benjamin Bus are proud of the accomplishments of the Northfield Raiders and wish all of the Raider student athletes a safe and successful season.
Hi, Dr. Michael Ritchie, Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center. Do you have HSA dollars that you're looking at wondering, hey, what can I use these on? Did you know you can use HSA, HRA, and other health savings accounts to pay for your LASIK procedure? In addition, if you have a Flex account, you can set aside money in your Flex account for next year to use towards LASIK.
Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center, Faribault. World-class LASIK, small-town traffic. RitchieEyeClinic.com.
95.1. The One.
Well, that's a wrap. Stick a fork in this. We're done again for one more week. And sticking a fork, I think I'm going to get me some shepherd's pie or something like that. It's a little early, but happy St. Patrick's Day to all you wannabe Irish people out there. A very, very special thank you to Michelle Sonica, who is the head coach of the Knowledge Bowl team. If you didn't know anything about that, if you didn't even know that we had a Knowledge Bowl team, we've been doing it for years. They've been to state 7 years in a row, so a lot of good stuff to talk about today. A very, very fun conversation with her, and you can listen back to all of that on kymnradio.net coming up in just a few minutes after the program is over today. And, of course, we want to thank all the hockey players. Mr. Herb Brooks winner Jake Geiger and his brother Ben were in the studio today, along with Christian Whiteman and Will Cashin and Michael Stewart. So thanks to those guys for showing up today and popping into the studio and talking about their successful hockey season. And again, thank you to Addison Enfield and Liz Campbell for this week's Meet the Raider. Yeah, that's all we got for today. Jimmy LaRue bidding you adieu, and we'll catch you next week on the Raider Wrap right here on 95.1 The One and AM 1080 KYMN. Have a great and safe St. Patrick's Day weekend.
95.1.